Let's pray, guys. You just had words saying over you this morning that uses the image of a person standing outside of a window just tossing pebbles up. In fact, if you think back to movies you've seen, you've probably seen the guy outside courting a girl and just tossing the little pebbles up, just trying to wake from her sleep. And we're honest, sometimes that is what it feels like when we pray. Just, God, are you there? Just give me a look out the window. Just let me toss this pebble up and let me see if it lands and wakes you from your sleep. It feels as if we're praying and, God, you are asleep and you're not listening. In other words, that beautiful song says that we cast shadows upon your door. In other words, we're going to camp out here. We're going to live in this moment until you listen to me. May not be the answer I want, but I want to know that I'm heard. And so, Father, I just felt led to pray that before we even start this morning. In fact, it ties beautifully into what we're reading this morning. I just wanted to pray that even if that's us, even if we're in a season of feeling like we have no answers, God, I just want you to speak this morning with your Holy Spirit that you are listening, you do care, you are an observant Father. Your word, in fact, tells us that you know what we need before we even think or ask it. That's a good Father. Father, we love you, and we just say this is your time. I believe, God, that you're going to speak this morning. You've already spoken through song. You've spoken through food. You've spoken through fellowship. You've spoken through hugs and smiles and handshakes and, Father, reconnecting of relationships that others haven't seen each other in a while, and just telling my brother Larry over there just a second ago, it makes my day every time I see him. Father, that's a gift from you, and so we bless you in that. We thank you for those gifts. Speak to us this morning. We pray and we beg it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. This morning we're going to be in Psalm 20. If you have a Bible, want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll do my best to read it for you. I hope everybody is good and full. All right. Man, that just made my heart. Somebody said they're not full yet because they hadn't had the word. I like that. We're going to let God do something on that. A psalm titled, Trust in the Name of the Lord our God. King David writes in Psalm 20 this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Oh, Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Will you pray with me? Father, we probably have heard this psalm. We have probably read it many times, but we just ask today that you would speak fresh and anew. And so, God, just speak directly to our hearts as a loving father would to a son or daughter. That is what your word says we are through Jesus. And so we boldly approach you this morning and say, the same as King David, God, would you answer us when we call? We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. David is a king. And if you know much about David's life, turmoil and war often abounded and fell in his life all the time. And we aren't sure exactly what predicament is going on here, but you can see that David is addressing a group of people. In fact, I picture it in my mind as David, this king who leads men into war, that he is standing before an army. And if you'll listen to the beginning of this, he is saying, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Two things I really want to point out, that David is this man after God's own heart, and this is the person that he continually turned to in his time of need. Every time he turned to the Lord. A couple of things I want us to see here. It seems that David is speaking to this group, and it's very personal. In fact, if you go back through this psalm, it says, you and yours. It is David talking to a group of people, and he's saying, may your God save you. He's making it personal, talking to the people. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Now, David here doesn't say how God will answer. I would love to tell you that in your day of trouble, in your time of need, that God will answer in this specific way. But if we know anything about God, the thing that we know the most is we don't always know how he will answer. But David is hopeful. David speaks directly to God as if he knows him like a friend. In fact, one that is deeper than a friend, as a father. And he says that there is a certain trouble that is finding them. And Lord, will you answer us in this time of trouble? I want to stop here and just say that there is a big word that floats around about God. It's a big word that I believe is true, but I want to unpack it and explain it just a little bit. There is this word about God that is called sovereignty. You ever heard that? That our God is sovereign. In fact, Scripture speaks of this. The definition of the word sovereign is superior, supreme in power, a ruler. Romans 11:33 even speaks to me on the idea of his sovereignty. Paul, the one who knows God, the one who walked with God, the one who was taught by Jesus himself in the wilderness, says this, oh, the depth and the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. And here is what Paul says, how unsearchable that is. Some translations say how unknowable the wisdom of God is, how unknowable, unsearchable are the great truths and mystery that is our God. Paul knew this. He knew that when we pray to God, to sum it up, we pray to the only one. Think about this, that our God is the only one that looks into the future and has memories. That's a big God, right? Let me just go on and say that. God doesn't have a DeLorean. He didn't hit 88 miles an hour, if Back to the Future fans out here. Like, he is in the future. He knows the future. He looks into your future and has memories. That is the sovereignty. That is this all-knowing, all-powerful God. This wow moment when we think of God. This holy God set apart. But here is what I want to say about the beauty of God's sovereignty. I don't understand it all. In fact, if you want to know the truth, it really bakes my noodle when I try to think about it. I get lost in that idea. In fact, if you want to know the truth, can I be honest this morning? Everybody give me permission to be honest. Sometimes the idea of God's sovereignty really ticks me off, because he knows the bad things that's going to happen, and yet it feels like he does nothing. Anybody else with me on that? It's tough. That is a bitter pill to swallow, but I believe there is beauty in that, because it is important to know that as David prays this, may the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. I want you to know, I want everybody to look this way and hear my voice this morning with a heart of love, that there will be days of trouble, but I want you to know that even a sovereign God, that he does not cause your day of trouble. I want you to hear this. He does not cause the day of trouble. In fact, if you want to know about God's relationship with us, all you have to do is go to the beginning pages of our Bible and look and see that he created perfection. He created Eden. He created a relationship where he would meet us in the cool breeze of the afternoon and have a walk with us and talk with us and fellowship. And then sin entered the picture. I want you to know that I believe that whatever you are facing now that is your day of trouble is not caused by God. He is sovereign and knows the outcome. But I want you to know, I believe your day of trouble is a day of trouble that never was supposed to be until sin entered the picture. Sin caused your day of trouble. It may not even be your sin. It is just sin, period, has caused our days of trouble. and tell you, when we think about that and we understand, okay, God, but you know all things. You understand how they work and how all of these things shift together. I just want to read to you a verse that you've heard many times. And honestly, it depends on where it hits us. It depends if we're in some of the good days or some of the bad days that it really could uplift us, or it could just bring us to a place of where we say, I don't understand. God, would you help me? I'm like David. Would you please answer me in my day of trouble? Isaiah 55 says it this way, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Here is what I do know, that a sovereign God can take what the enemy has meant for bad, as what sin has entangled and made a day of trouble, and God in his infinite wisdom and sovereignty can take that and make it into a good thing. I can't explain all that. I wish I could. I wish I had the answers. I want you to know that I have searched that myself and honestly have just come to the point of understanding that's a mind of God thing, and maybe one day I'll know it, maybe I won't. But here's what I do. I trust. I trust that you will listen, God, when I have problems. I trust that when there's day of troubles that he sends people into my life. By the way, that is what this whole thing is about. That is what family and community is about. That sin entered the picture and causes days of trouble, but yet he offers communion and family together that we can walk with. We have a real enemy. In fact, the word says this about the enemy, a couple of things. It calls him the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, the god of this world. Some traps of snare of the devil and power of the evil one. But I want you to know that even in that, even though sin causes our trouble, even though sin broke this perfect fellowship, this picture, I want you to know that I believe God's sovereignty. Even still, the enemy has to work within the boundaries that God allows. He's in control. And isn't it beautiful that he made a way? Sin entered the picture and caused our day of trouble. In fact, for those that don't know him, it's not only a day of trouble, but a lifetime of trouble. But God himself in the flesh steps into mine and your story and plays the role of hero and rescuer in your life. That no matter what we face, no matter what day of trouble, no matter what hits us right in the face, no matter what hits us so deep that it feels as if there are utterings inside of our spirit that we can't even say. By the word, God's word speaks on that as well, that he even hears and understands our groanings, our utterings of words that can't be comprehended, those sobs so deep that it feels like we'll fall apart if we breathe them in anymore. It says that he hears and he is there and listens and fights on our behalf. I believe even here that there is hope. There's hope that what even the enemy uses for bad, as if our brother from long ago in Genesis, Joseph. Anybody remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Sold by his brothers into slavery, thought about killing him, and they thought, nah, that'd be too bad, so we'll just sell him into slavery. We'll throw him in this pit, take his coat that he's so happy about, dip it in blood, and we'll sell him into slavery. And you know the rest of the story, right? You know what happens, that Joseph becomes this second in charge. And when he stands before his brothers, he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I want to read Psalm 20 again and then close with a verse that you may not think about tied to Psalm 20. In fact, I didn't, but God told me to read it this morning and just let it do its own talking. Is that okay? Psalm 20, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard you with favor, your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Listen to what David does, though. He goes from you and your, and he says this to we and us. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. You understand that our God has a mighty right hand of salvation. Some trust in chariots and horses, right? This is David. This is the king. He has the greatest army in the world at this time, and he is standing there looking out over a fleet of men and telling these warrior men, now look all around you. Some will put their faith in what they can see, but we put our faith in the name of the Lord our God. In fact, even he speaks in a somber way of looking out over this army and says, some trust in chariots and horses, they collapse and fall. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Even David, a man after God's own heart, looks and says, God, would you please answer me? I don't know how you're going to answer me, but will you please just let me know that you are listening? Will you hear me when I call? Oh, God. Anybody there this morning? Anybody feel what's being cooked up by the Holy Spirit, that maybe you feel all alone? Maybe it feels like there is no answer. Maybe you even feel like God is not listening. I want you to know a couple of things this morning, that he has not caused your day of trouble. That's not my God. He's sovereign. The enemy has caused our day of trouble. Sin has caused our day of trouble, and God is going to even use that and redeem it. You know what the word redeem means? It's like taking a coupon to the store, right? There's a buying back power. There is something even greater, though. When we talk about an eternal significance, here is what he did. Your soul destined to hell because of sin. And Jesus steps into the picture. And if you've ever seen a bank loan where the banker stamps paid in full, paid in full. It's done. But man, there is so much greater than that. We have all had great moments of pain, great moments of loss, and have some coming. But I want to tell you this from the Word of God. And here is what God told me this morning. Yesterday, looking over this word, he tells me, Keith, just like you can hear a voice from a friend, not out loud, but in my spirit, read this verse. Listen to me this morning. Everybody look this way. Read this verse to my people. When you face great pain, when you face great hurt, when your day of trouble is today and the days ahead. Revelation 21. Verse 5 says, and he who is seated on the throne. Everybody know who's seated on the throne? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Father, I trust you. You told me to read that word and close with that. I will not expound other than to say you want to speak over this crowd this morning as a loving Father with the power of your Holy Spirit that says there is a day coming when we will get back everything we have lost. There is a day coming that you will make all things right. There is a day coming where Eden will return. There is a day coming when perfection will be, where there are no tears. There is no death. There is no sickness. You are in the process right now, beginning to make all things new. I don't know why this crowd needed to hear that this morning. God, let me make it personal. I don't know why I needed to hear that this morning and all the reasons why, but I trust you as a good Father, and just listen to your voice of saying to your people this morning, your people. Some people put too much on the role, Pastor. These are not my people. These are my brothers and sisters. We are your people. You are the leader. You are the pastor of this church. Jesus, you are the head, and you say, let my people know I and making all things new. I will set things right. God, we long for Eden. We long for perfection. We long to be in your presence, in community. And I claim by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that this family will not pass away forever. This family, this church at Southside Family, your church, your body that you have brought together, we will dine in the banquets of heaven together. When you have made all things new, this is not our home. We look for a home that is greater than this. When you make all things new. If Father, speak to our hearts. What does that mean for me this morning? I pray that everyone asks this question. In fact, I'm going to ask with a boldness this morning. Maybe some in the sound of my voice haven't prayed to God in a long time. Maybe even some in this circle and on the outer edges don't even believe, God, that you exist. In fact, they've been through so many days of trouble that when they hear that, they could say, nope, I'm done with that. I've been there, done that. I can't listen anymore to the word God. I can't listen to the word of a loving Father. Father, would you speak? Would you break through? Would you give them the courage and the boldness to ask a question? God, why did you tell that man to tell me? Listen, take everyone else out of it. Get personal with God this morning. Ask him this question. God, Father, Father, why did you need me to hear? I'm making all things new. What does that mean to me? Is that personal to me that you're going to make me new? Is that personal about my loss? Is that personal about what's been stolen from me? Is that personal to me about death and sickness? Is that personal to me because of whatever reason? God, would you speak? I pray that everyone out here, I am a sinner. I am a man. But I pray they know my heart and my love for them. I pray they would trust me in this just to ask you this one question. If they haven't talked to you in 30 years, I pray they would ask this question. God, why did I need to hear that today? I'm going to pray a prayer of boldness right back that if they would pray that, maybe not today, maybe not right now in this moment, maybe it's when we get off and we're in the quiet alone, but God, I'm going to pray boldly and claim that if they'll pray that, if they'll ask you, you'll speak. You had a reason for this, and so we just say again, God, speak in this moment. Head bows, eyes closed. I want to read this in closing. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new."